Hi, this is Adam Amin, and you're listening to Squash Masters, a junior squash podcast. In this podcast, we'll be interviewing junior squash players and coaches for their tips, tricks, and interesting stories. If you like what you hear, please subscribe. Welcome back to the Squash Masters podcast. On today's episode, I interview Nathan Clark, a squash photographer. We talk about his newly released book, Behind the Glass, and the squash season coming back. Hope you enjoy. When did you start playing squash and why?
So I only started playing squash when I was around 25. So I wasn't like most of the other people that I imagine you've spoken to. I wasn't a squash player as a child. I only began playing the game whenever I started working with the PSA. So I joined the PSA in 2013, and I picked up a squash racket for the very first time on my first week in the job, which was at the US Open in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. Why did you decide to get into squash photography, and how did that really happen?
Sort of a complicated story. I joined the PSA as their sort of media manager. So I was brought in to set up social media, build the Facebook, drive the YouTube channel, that kind of thing. And my background isn't as a photographer either. It was purely a hobby, something I enjoyed doing on the side. And when I went to the first squash tournament, the squash photographer was a man called Steve Lyon, who is still a photographer these days. Steve's taken all the iconic photos from the last sort of 30 odd years. But he was the only guy doing it. And I sort of felt that there needed to be somebody looking at the sport with a different perspective. So a lot of my photography is the players warming up, behind the scenes, things that don't necessarily happen on the court, and there was nobody doing that, so it was kind of something that I wanted as a media guy. I wanted to be able to show fans a different side to the players and a different side to the game, and I had a little bit of knowledge with the camera, so I just kind of put the two things together, and that's how it started, and it's kind of grown over the last few years to become what I now do.
How did you find like the PSA job?
It's the job that I currently have, and the job that I had before is a great job. To be involved in sport and to be involved in professional sport at that level is it's a bit of an honor. It's a bit of a privilege to be able to work so closely with world-class athletes. You're obviously a squash player, so you know the game's quite difficult and it's very physically tough. So to be able to see these guys training up close and see them competing up close and be able to then, you know, chat to them and build a relationship with them behind the scenes is quite a nice thing. I am a sports player, although I didn't play squash. I was involved in lots of other sports, so I've got a lot of respect for the work that goes into the game and the kind of demands of it. So to be able to be involved in elite sport behind the scenes is something that I quite enjoy. And also squash doesn't have the global profile that I think we would all like it to have. It's not, you know, soccer, it's not basketball, it doesn't have millions of followers. So to be one of the people trying to grow the game is also quite an exciting challenge. So I find it very rewarding on many different levels.
Yeah, it must be. What photo/photos are you most proud of?
The photo I'm most proud of is one of Renee Melwalele that I took at the US Open last year. On my Instagram, it's the photo I use when Renee retired. She's crouched down against a very blue wall. It's not the most exciting photograph in the world. You know, it's not a big dive on court. It's not lots of emotions after a victory. It's nothing all that special, but there's a meaning behind the photo for me. I know Renee quite well. I'd like to think of her as a friend, not just a colleague. And I think when you look at her in that picture, the world number one preparing for a big match, you can kind of feel the thoughts that are going through her head. It's hard to tell if she's excited, if she's nervous, if she's worried, if she's scared. And she lost the match, so that adds a little bit more to it, because I now look at that photo and think, I wonder, was she not confident at that moment in time, or what was going on? So there's the thing I love about photos is you can look at a photo and you can see different stories, you can see different things in it, depending on how many times you look at it, and the environment and the kind of context of when it happened tells you different things. So that's definitely one of my favorites.
Yeah, that's really cool. Which squash player were you most excited to meet when you first started photography, or just the PSA job?
Well, there wasn't anybody I was excited to meet, to be honest, because I didn't really know who they were. When I started, Rami Ashour had just done his 49 match winning streak, so he was the kind of player that everybody talked about. And I joined the PSA in September, and Rami was injured, and he didn't appear at a tournament until I think the December of that year. So there was this guy that everybody was telling me about. You know, I was going to tournaments and meeting Greg Gaultier and meeting Nick Matthew and Laura Massaro and Nicole David, and I was a little bit not unaware, but I just I didn't realize how good these people actually were. It wasn't until I saw them up close that I sort of appreciated the skill of the sport. Yeah. But they all talked about Rami. Everybody talked about Rami. And then when he finally showed up at the tournament, he's also a bit of he's an enigma as a person. He's very charismatic. You can tell he's very, very talented, not just in squash, but you know, he's got a bit of an artistic flair to him. So I was excited to meet him. And he was probably one of the people I've enjoyed watching the most. But I also very much enjoyed watching Nick Matthew. Yeah. Again, not the most exciting squash player in the world, but I appreciated his hard work and his attitude. And he kind of showed that you don't have to be the best in the world to be able to excel in your field, which is something I kind of apply to myself. I know I'm not the world's best photographer, but I try and improve my skills kind of every day to be the best that I can be.
So what were those first interactions like with these squash greats? Someone who has never played squash, doesn't really know the game, meeting some of these people?
I think it was probably a good thing for me, because obviously going into a job where I'm trying to grow the game and show people a different side of the sport, I think if I had been a squash fan, then perhaps I might have been a little bit nervous or a little bit shy or a little bit unsure how to approach these guys. But because I didn't really know an awful lot about them, I was much more relaxed. I think probably just talk to them like human beings, like friends, as opposed to looking at them as these great idols of sport. They were all incredibly friendly. I mean, I have to say, the first tournament I went to, being the new guy, not really knowing what's going on, meeting people like James Wilstrop and Gaultier for the very first time, they were all super friendly, very, very welcoming. Had great conversations with all of them about squash, about life, about all sorts of things. And I think that kind of is something that's very evident within squash. You can meet the best players in the world, but chat to them like they're your next door neighbor. Mm-hmm. They don't have the egos and the kind of personas that come with some of the biggest sports names in the world. You know, I've never met Roger Federer, but I imagine he's not an easy guy to get to speak to, because there's going to be so many bodyguards and all those kind of things around him. Whereas, you know, Rami Ashour would just be walking around the squash club and you could just go up and chat to him. It makes the game feel really approachable and connectable, and I think that's a great thing about it.
Did you ever think that you would be in the PSA the media manager taking photos when you were a kid?
Nope. as I say, because squash wasn't really featuring in my childhood. I was a rugby player as a child. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of where I wanted to go. I was hoping to be a professional rugby player. Got quite far before injuries set me back. And it was only at that point, when I was still in school and I had injuries that stopped my rugby career, it was only at that point that I kind of veered towards journalism. So I studied journalism with a speciality in sports, which led me into the kind of working world. And I worked in cycling, and then I worked in rugby, and then I ended up joining the PSA. So my journey was a little bit different to a lot of the people that I think want to get involved in squash or maybe are involved in squash. So it wasn't a thing I thought about as a child or dreamt of or anything else, but it's worked out very, very well for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. What are some of the coolest places you've taken photos in?
Oh, there's a lot. A lot of the tournaments are fantastic, I have to say. What's your favorite event?
The pyramids were pretty cool. The World Tour Finals last year.
So the pyramids, yeah. It's a very strange feeling to be standing here with a squash court in front of you, and then a couple of 100 meters behind you, the pyramids of Egypt. That's quite surreal. It makes for some very dramatic photographs. Inside Grand Central in New York, again, very, very stunning. Mm-hmm. In China, the tournament's played in the top of a hotel in Shanghai, and the views are just incredible. Mm-hmm. It's one of the great things about the sport. The court can be played, anywhere. You can erect the glass court in front of whatever incredible location you can think of. There's loads and loads and loads, and every tournament's different and offers you something different as well. So I couldn't really pick one out. That would be unfair on the other.
Yeah. So I know you've just published a squash photo book. So can you tell us what that is about and how can we buy it?
So the book is 120 pages of squash photos from the 2019-20 PSA season. So when I go to tournaments, my job is to take photographs and video content to supply the PSA social media channels. So if you look on the PSA's Instagram during a tournament, you'll see loads of my photos, but I maybe take 1,000 photos a day, and only 10 or 15 maybe are used or are ever made public. So I've got hundreds and hundreds of photos that have never seen the light of day. And whenever the tour was suspended in March because of COVID and everything that's going on in the world at the moment, it was very quickly apparent that a lot of players would struggle. A lot of our players don't earn millions and millions of pounds. So they aren't earning lots of money. And if they don't have tournaments, then they don't have a chance to earn that money. So their income is very, very heavily affected. And the PSA launched the foundation's funds to try and raise money for players. And it sort of felt natural because I spend my time photographing the players and trying to show off what they do. It seemed like a natural fit for me to try and make something that we could sell to celebrate the players on one hand. So show off all my images that I think sort of showcase the sport and make the players look as best as I can, but at the same time, raise money for the players by doing that. Mm-hmm. So it's a charity endeavor. It's hopefully something that will raise money that'll help some of the worst affected players. And it's my way of trying to give back to these guys that have welcomed me into the sport and been so nice with me over the past few years. And hopefully a few of them think it's quite cool at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to be in the photo book. If any of our listeners wanted to become a photographer, how would they be able to do that? And what are some tips for some junior photographers?
Okay, so I'll start with the tips. It's a very fast game, and it's also surprisingly very dark. So though the squash court looks very bright, when you're using a camera, it's very dark. So you need a camera that can stop action and that can get an awful lot of light. So you need like a sort of high level DSLR type camera. But in saying that, it's not the camera that makes the photos, it's the photographer. And it's how you see things and the way you use your eye. You can have the best camera in the world, but you can still take rubbish photographs. And you can have a very, very poor camera and take amazing photographs. So the tips are very simple. Use your own eyes and try and see things from a different perspective and then try and capture that. You know, look at photographs by somebody like me, look at photographs of other sports photographers, but don't try and just copy whatever anybody else is doing. It's a bit like playing squash. You know, you can watch Rami Ashour, you can watch Amar Shabana, you can watch Nick Matthew, Nicole David, Renina Awolili, name the players, but I'm never going to step on court and play like Renina Awolili. And you're a good bit younger than me, so you might have more of a chance of playing like Renina Awolili, but you don't want to be Renina Awolili, you want to be yourself. And it's the same with photography. You don't want to just copy Nathan or anybody else. You want to create your own style. So that would be like the main bit of advice, is just try and create your own style and work with what you have and try and understand the sport and bring your perspective to it. In terms of becoming a photographer, I think the best way to start for most people would be if you're in a squash club and you have tournaments and you have events, bring your camera along, ask permission from whoever's running the tournament and see if you can take some photographs and just practice, enjoy playing around. You know, maybe if you're playing in a tournament and you get knocked out early on, you know, obviously you can be annoyed and you can be upset, but you can also then use that as an opportunity to photograph the next five matches or whatever it is that happens and try and put your skills into practice. And it's also quite good to be interested in something else like that relates to the sport. So if you are playing an event and you lose and you're frustrated and you're angry about your performance, but you can also then, you know, channel your sort of thoughts into, say, photographing the event, you're still involved in it and it maybe helps cope with the defeats and things like that. So that would be the best place to start. And then obviously if you're near a big tournament, US Open or something of that kind of ilk, you could always get in touch with the organizers and see if you could come in. And you know, you can maybe come and spend a day with me at a tournament and see what it's like behind the scenes and get a practice at it and stuff like that. Just reach out to people, be brave.
Are you excited for the squash season to restart? And are you going to be taking photos when it does?
I absolutely am. It's been a long time since we've had an event. It feels very strange to have spent 6 months and not really seen a squash court. And I will be in Manchester next week for the first tournament back on Squash TV. It's probably going to be a very strange experience because there won't be any fans and it won't be the normal kind of feeling at a tournament that we tend to have. So I'm not really sure what to expect, but I'm very much looking forward to being back and trying to do my bit for the game. Hopefully I'll remember how to take photographs and won't have forgotten anything. Hopefully the players all remember how to play squash as well. Yep. But it should be exciting. I'm looking forward to it.
Yep. Keep a lookout for him. So, would you like to add anything onto any of the questions?
No. I think you've covered a lot of ground there, Adam. I think, as I say, my kind of journey into the sport isn't necessarily the most straightforward. But it's also quite interesting to know that a lot of the people that work for Squash TV aren't squash players. A lot of us are from other sports or from other backgrounds. We've come into the game, and I think it's a testament to the sport that, like myself, a lot of the other people that I work with come from outside of squash, but we've all fallen in love with the game through our different roles and whatever relationships we have with players and events, and the ability to travel around the world and kind of be part of the whole thing is something that I think the staff very quickly fall in love with and feel a part of, I think, quite quickly as well. And because it is a small sport, like we said, you know, we're trying to get more people to watch it. We're trying to increase the number of viewers and everything else. I think the staff that do come in and feel like they're kind of playing a big role within the game. So it's a good sport to be involved in.
Thank you. Thank you again.
No problem, Adam. Thank you very much for having me on.
Hey, if you enjoyed the episode, you can subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or anywhere you listen to your podcasts. As we try to grow the show, one way is for you guys to only share with just one friend who you think should listen to the show. Thank you.